What you guys are realizing is this doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Now, the challenge is quit bitching about it and do something about it, right?
Dude, so true.
Like, it's like, okay, you can say, I've applied for jobs and I'm not getting them, and I'm do something different. Like, figure out something different. What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Moore. We're back with Whiskey Wednesday, where we're here with my main man, Mr. Jake Sheehy.
What's up? How we doing?
What's up, buddy? What do we, we're like, I'm kind of flying blind on this one. Usually I get like a 20 second primer right before we hit play.
Not today, man.
Not today.
We're throwing you in the fire.
What's on the agenda today? What are we talking about?
Today's topic is creating generational wealth with short-term rentals. Mm-hmm. Now, the thought process on this is, I feel like we talk about plenty about how short-term rentals can really help the person listening, meaning you can make passive income, you can build a life you don't want to take a vacation from, you can create a lot of wealth and expand your portfolio and amazing things, no doubt about it. But I wanted to kind of touch on how this can – short-term rentals can also help your family. Your kids, many of our members do have kids, and many of our members even have already brought in their kids, and their kids have short-term rentals now. We've seen this happening, and it's really amazing. So I kind of just wanted to touch on that, on how short-term rentals can help you, but also give your kids an amazing skill set that I wish, of course, my parents did for me at the time, but just this amazing thing. So we're going to touch on the mindset they'll be given, the skill sets, the money management, and of course the benefits. And then at the very end, I have 7 hot potato questions I wanted to ask you.
Nice. All right. Okay. Short-term rental related, or are you just bouncing all over the place?
Well, yeah, kind of, but they kind of go in with the topic today, but yes, short-term rental related.
Awesome.
Okay. So, of course you have kids, and we have our members that have kids, and they're doing this. And I kind of just wanted to touch on the skill set first and foremost that they'll, get from this. Whether it be entrepreneurship or the handling of stress and trying to find bookings and, what are we gonna do with the property, to the hospitality of, like we talked about last week, putting someone else before yourself. And so let's just start with that.
Okay. Yeah. So it's interesting when we talk about generational wealth as, as parents, you have kids, and I don't know if every parent goes through this evolution, but I know for me, when I, when Teresa and I realized she was pregnant and we were going to start a family, I started thinking about, man, what am I going to do money wise and what kind of legacy am I going to have? What am I going to leave them with? And you start thinking about all these different things. And we talk about like generational wealth, if you will. Mm-hmm. And the early years in their life, I really just wanted to give them, this amazing life. I wanted to give them my portfolio when I was done, and they're walking into a better life than I was, walked into.
Right.
And
right.
The older I got, at some point, and I don't know the exact turning point, but it started to shift that I wanted to teach them how to build this stuff.
There we go.
I didn't want to necessarily hand them a portfolio. Mm-hmm. I wanted them to learn what it took to build a portfolio.
Yeah.
So that if I wasn't here or something happened, they had the skill set to actually do it themselves. Mm. And so that became way more important to me. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's a, for me, that's the, if you want to talk about the generational wealth, I want to pass on the knowledge of how to do this, the mindset of how to do this, the skill set, and understanding what it really takes.
Yeah.
Real estate is an amazing tool to build generational wealth because as time goes on, when you own tangible appreciating assets, which real estate is, it's worth more tomorrow than it is today.
Yeah.
And if you have a whole bunch of tomorrows stacked up, it's worth a lot more in those whole bunch of tomorrows than it is today. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, there's this, when you, one, that aspect of having that, those, that portfolio that is actually building like generational wealth is, I mean, it's a reality, but it's not about just giving them that stuff. And to me, it's more about how can they get involved in it. One thing we love about short-term rentals in our Vodacy family is it really does become a family affair. How many posts inside of our community talk about it being a family affair? And the reason for that is, and I think it's just a very unique asset class that actually kids and families enjoy together. It's something that we relate to vacations. We relate to taking vacations with our families. It's kind of a familial affair, if you will. And so we end up we end up seeing this like family dynamic in the investing of short-term rentals, which has been really, really fun for me to recognize. When I used to do development deals, building houses, doing fix and flips and everything else, that was a means to an end. Hey, we're going to do this project. We're going to, we're going to capitalize out of the project. We're going to put it into something else. We're going to do it. It wasn't necessarily something that both Teresa and I got interested in together. Right. Yeah. And so it was just, it was paying the bills. It was a means to an end. It was a business operation. And short-term rentals, we still treat them as a business operation, but everybody kind of gets interested in it because they're fun properties, right?
Right.
You get to use them. You get to create these memories, and everybody has a different opinion and input and skill sets, if you will, that they're really good at. And one of the things that with short-term rentals is you're learning a lot of different skill sets.
Oh, yeah.
You're learning how to, you know, run the numbers, the financing aspect of it, budgeting, making sure that you're getting a return for every dollar you put in. We need to know what we're getting back out. We're learning customer experience. We're trying to put together operational, logistical stuff when it comes to managing these properties. You're learning you're learning marketing on the back end and understanding how to attract a customer, how to convert them, how to get them to repeat and come back and be repeat guests. And which is retaining those customers. So there's this wide range of skill sets in this one asset class that ultimately builds, you know, the knowledge base and skill set. And that's what's been really fun for me is watching my kids learn things they're not learning in school.
Oh, right. 100%. 100%. I mean, I think 2 points here. One was looking down the road. I think that's like an amazing skill set, especially in this age of instant gratification and scrolling, being able to say like, this is going to appreciate, this is going to become better. And that's a huge thing in and of itself. But then when you're talking about the family dynamic, I think being able to have your kids, you know, it's like for me, like I would have summer jobs and I would go out and I'd work these summer jobs that like just sucked, man, brutal. The manual labor sucked. And I'd be like, man, this is not for me, you know, or you become like a server. And you're like, man, this stress sucks. I don't want to do this. But then when you have this family dynamic and you can look at like your parents and you can learn these entrepreneurial skill sets or the handling stress or like you said, the hospitality, you don't have to go through those things, but you also get to be with your family and learn it and like this fun, amazing asset class, which I think is amazing. And then you touched on what you learn in school. Oh, dude, I remember I took economics class. This is a fun story. Economics class in high school. I remember one day in high school, our lesson for the day was the teacher put on the movie, The Big Short. You know that one about the housing market crash? She put on that movie and then fell asleep at her desk. And that's what we learned for the day. And so I go, oh my gosh. Like no one taught me about loans. I never heard of a DSCR loan. I've never heard of like how do you find anything about the housing market or like the numbers? Like these things are they're alien to you. But if you have the parents or you have this community of Odyssey, you can really tap into these things, you know? Yeah.
Well, it's amazing how many adults don't even know how to actually calculate an ROI on a deal, right? Oh, and like like we talked about in past episodes, you know, the four real levers that that real estate offers is cash flow, note pay down, appreciation, and then depreciation with your tax write-offs and the tax advantages. You start talking to even adults, and it's not their fault. We weren't taught this stuff, right? And we were taught, hey, listen, we were taught to be very good employees. We were taught to be very disciplined employees. Like, hey, listen, go find a job, go, you know, trade your time for money, take a certain percentage of that, throw it into a 401k and let it do its thing. And you're going to be okay. The issue is like most of the people we talk to at Vodacy, they're between about 45 and 55 years old. And they start to hear, they start to see, hey, listen, I followed all the rules. I did everything I was supposed to do. You know, I was very disciplined. I became a high W-2 income earner and I'm contributing to my retirement like I was supposed to. But then retirement comes to where it's not that far away and they start to realize I'm 10 or 15 years away from retirement and I'm running the numbers in my head and at the pace I'm on doing everything I'm supposed to do, I'm in trouble, right? I'm not in a good spot. I'm going to have to really cut down my my lifestyle and my way of living and what I want to do if I'm on this path. And we realized that the game we were taught to play doesn't work. It doesn't work today. And I don't know why they don't teach a different game or teach these concepts in school, but they don't. And they it's our job as parents, it's our job as adults to go figure that out on our own. And now that can be in and of itself very challenging because online there's all kinds of advice. There's all kinds of people telling you different things and different options. And the truth of the matter is every road you run down has pros and cons, and including short-term rentals. You know, they all have pros and cons, but it's understanding a different game than what you were taught to play, which is just basically obedience, right? Hey, listen, I'm going to be a very obedient servant to somebody, trade my time for money, do what they tell me to do. And then I realize after I've been doing it for a long time, you know, I'm 20 years in and I realize, look, crap, this doesn't work anymore. And that's what we're trying to do is help. But I want to, I know this conversation started with parents and it's, that's where I, as a parent, want my kids, I want to pass a baton to them, you know, where when I'm 48 years old, I want to give a 13-year-old the baton and say, you run faster and farther than I've ever run because I'm going to teach you all these lessons learned along the way. And when they can be a part of it and you allow them to be a part of it and they're interested in it, they can really accelerate their I mean, kids are like sponges, right?
Oh,
And they really will start to pick up on it. They really start to understand it. And it really becomes fun as a parent to start to say, they're going to be okay. You know, if something happens to me, they're fine. I don't need to leave them piles of money and piles of properties, right? They're going to be good regardless of what we do here. And we want to do all of it, right? But at the end of the day, if everything is stripped away from us, I want them to know and believe that they can do this in a different way than what they've been taught or would have been taught in school. My kids aren't, they don't go to school. They're homeschooled. Right. So we teach them what we want to teach them.
I mean, that's a tough ask, man. It's a tough ask to tell the parents to like rewire your kids' brains different than how the school is wanting them to think and everybody else is thinking, you know, to run down the hard road. That's like a, that's a, seems like a that's really a hard tough ask.
Tough sell.
So, I mean, here's, this is one, isn't one of the hot potato questions, but I was thinking about what you're talking is, do you think, you know, someone gets into the STR game and they have kids, do you think they should, once they get in, start like have their kids beside them and let them learn as they also learn? Or do you think it's better for the parent to have the answers and then pass it down? Or do you think you should learn together? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. I think that it, I would say it depends, right?
Okay.
Learning together is awesome. Right? If the kid's interested enough and you can run down that road together, you make mistakes together, you learn together, you might, one of you is going to have a different viewpoint on something. I think that's always really good.
Okay.
The, it depends part is there's a lot of misinformation out there. And so sometimes you start running down a road and you realize, holy crap, this isn't exactly the right road. And it's wrong, or it's not, it doesn't line up with my values and beliefs or anything else, right? There's a lot of different roads that you'll run down that maybe you don't want to expose your kids to because that, you know, all of a sudden it's like, hey, listen, sometimes it's nice as a parent. It's like watching a movie before we let our kids watch a movie.
Right.
And okay. It's like, then, okay, yeah. Do I want to watch the movie first and make sure that I'm buying into this view of the movie before my kids do, right?
Right.
Because if we can be a filter for our kids, sometimes that's a good thing as well. If it's a road that you can learn together though, and you know that it's a, you know, legitimate road, that can be really awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what, when it comes to like the responsibility, what do you think is like too much, you know? I always kind of wondered that, like, you know, we know that some of our members, their kids do like the management, or they like they send the messages whenever they're the communicators in a way because they know social media, they know how to do that kind of stuff. But when it comes to like revenue reports, running the numbers, you know, do you think you got to get like a raise in that business, you know, before you start getting that, or do you what do you think? Like, I mean, that just
it depends on
tough.
The kid, right?
Yeah, because I guess if they have a huge interest in it and they're like taking to it, then, you know, let them run with it, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like it's, but, you know, sometimes you got to put the reins on a little bit. Like Grace came to me like 2 weeks ago. And she, they're like, so I, one of my deals, my kids just turned 14. So that in a year, they're going to start getting their driver's learner's permit. And so they're thinking, okay, what are we going to drive? And and mom and dad aren't buying a car, but I made them a deal. I said, I will match however much you guys put up. So up to 10,000 because I put a limit on it because out of That's both of my kids, Grace is going to be, she'll be like, all right, you're matching 20 or 30 grand. I'll figure out a way to get that money. And so I said, I'm going to match. coming to a city near you. That's right. Me and my team of expert advisors are going to be traveling around the United States teaching people just like you how to acquire, manage, and market a successful short-term vacation rental. We're going to be hosting live two-day events to help investors mitigate their risks and maximize their returns with short-term vacation rentals. At these live events, you're not only going to hear from me, but I'm going to also bring my team of experts, CPAs, lenders, photographers, designers, managers, and my marketing experts. So if you're looking to learn more about investing in profitable lifestyle assets, or you want actionable steps on how to revitalize your struggling property, then come join us live and in person where we can shake your hand, meet you, and get all of those questions answered. Tickets start at general admission and work their way up to ultra VIP. So you can buy your tickets today by clicking the link in the description or by visiting Eventbrite and searching Vacation Rental Investing Masterclass. Once again, click the link in the description or visit Eventbrite and search Vacation Rental Investing Masterclass to get your tickets today. Up to 10. Okay. So if you save up 10, you can buy a $20,000 car. That's okay. A lot for a kid, right? Yeah. In my opinion. Yeah. I don't know that they'll save that up. But what she did is she writes down all the money she's making, right? All the jobs she currently has. And she's on track to be able to max. She's like, if that's free money. She's realizes, hey, I'm maxing 10 grand, right? Yeah. Which is smart, right? Yeah. It's like, hey, listen.
Good for her, yeah.
And so then Wyatt's like, huh, I was going to do 5 grand and I've been looking at trucks at 10 and he's starting to realize,
yeah,
oh, maybe Grace is right, right? Yeah, so yeah. Maybe it's, that is free money and maybe I better do that. But anyway, she starts writing down all the jobs that she has and how much she's going to make. Mm-hmm. And she said, hey, Dad, I want to do sales for Vodacy. So like, I could do sales. I know what your business is.
Yeah.
I've been looking at properties. I've gone through your course. Like I've done all this stuff. I want to talk to the people before they come in and I want to do sales. And so I would she's
that's awesome.
Like, I actually think she's competent to do it, but that's also, you're talking to a 14-year-old kid and you're 55 and you're okay, how serious am I going to take this? Right. My answer to that is no, you're not going to do sales for me right now. I love that you're interested in it and want to do it and trying to make some money.
Right.
But, and so to answer the question of what do you let him do or not, I think you have to use some judgment of, does it make sense to let him do it or not do it? When it comes to managing, maybe guest communication, maybe it's underwriting that's not front facing if they're too young. Right.
Right. It makes sense.
But at the end of the day, it's just like being a CEO of a business. If you're the CEO and you're the head of the business and you have the kids as a family business and they make a mistake, well, guess who's in trouble?
Right.
Me, the CEO, right? Yeah. If you have an employee that makes a mistake, at the end of the day, you're the one that's responsible for it. And so you have to, as the parent or the CEO, you're saying, okay, I'm going to put somebody in a position to succeed.
You're right.
But I still have to make sure, one, they're competent. Two, that I need to make sure that I'm looking over their shoulder to make sure that we're doing the right things. And there's times where you just have to say, hey, kid, you're 14.
Yeah, you're 14. Give it back. Okay.
I love what you're doing here, but you're 14 years old. And these are big decisions for a lot of people. They trust us with, some major life, decisions and blueprints that they're going to follow and everything else.
Yeah.
And even though I know you've gone through my stuff and I know you're my daughter, you feel like you learned everything through osmosis. You really haven't. You don't have 25 years in this, right?
Yeah. Man, I love it.
And
that's a great mentality of feeling capable to do that. Yeah. You know, I'm 14 and I have no problem talking to these really successful 55-year-olds. I got that. That's like an amazing mindset. And then I love the competition between Grace and Wyatt where he's like, dude, I was going to do 5, but this is 10. So
I got to raise the bar.
Raise the bar. Like that's a great camaraderie. Now let's move into kind of the benefits. And I'm trying to remember. I mean, I was like brain dead during the tax Boardroom HQ workshop, but I'm trying to remember when he was talking about paying your kids.
Yeah.
And maybe, maybe your kid is 14 and you don't want to give them the full range right now. So maybe I remember Mike's example was shredding paper.
Yeah.
Like your kids can, come on. Yeah. Your kids can shred paper, but then you pay it through a Roth IRA and then later down the road, they can get that.
Yeah.
Which is it's like an amazing thing. You know, you don't have to give your kids I don't know how some people do it, but give your kids money on their birthday or Christmas. You can make them work for it.
Yeah.
And then they get this feeling of accomplishment and it was worth something. It wasn't just handed to you.
Yeah.
That's like an amazing benefit, right?
100%. guys, real quick, we are seeing record amounts of money being spent by guests visiting short-term rentals across the board. Yet many property owners are struggling to make the money that they want with those properties. So if your property is not performing like you'd hoped and you're crossing your fingers thinking that maybe it's going to get better soon, then you're going to be very, very disappointed because your property is performing exactly how you have it set up to perform. The good news is you're probably a lot closer to making money than you realize. I just hosted a live 3-day workshop on how to revitalize a struggling property where I covered the only three things that you need to dial in to succeed at the top of the short-term rental markets. And I'm going to send it to you absolutely free for being one of our podcast listeners. In these recorded trainings, I give you actionable steps on what you need to do to turn your property around and make the money that you've been hoping for. So you can get access to this free training by sending us an email to support@vodysey.com. Once again, send that email to support@vodysey.com to get your free training today.
That's the philosophy we buy into. I don't give allowances, but I do allow them to try to do jobs. And with when you're a business owner or they get involved in your short-term rental business, there are things your kids can do. And it can be another big tax savings because it's stuff you're probably paying for anyways.
Yeah.
When it comes to management and operations or logistics or whatever it is that in your business that they're capable of doing, you can pay them up to a certain amount that's completely tax-free. Get to write it off.
Come on.
They get to receive it tax-free and let it grow in a Roth IRA, all those different things. And there's all kinds of different strategies when it comes to that and involving them. And again, neither me or you are going to do justice to that strategy. That's why we have the best in the business on our team and the tax side. So shout out to Mike and Kevin at Revo Tax Advisors, right?
Right. But that's just like it's another amazing benefit. And then, we have to go at the end of the day. This is a lifestyle asset. Yeah. You know, parents want to spend time with their kids and they want their kids to be successful. Like you said, you want to hand your kid the baton. And this is a great way to do that. You can still you can create memories at your lifestyle asset, and you can teach them valuable tools that they are not getting in school. And then you can give them a baton that's going to let them run way farther than – I mean, at 14, I didn't learn any of this stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm waiting years. So now at 55, if you're learning some of this, imagine what you're going to implement at in a 14-year-old that's a sponge.
Yeah.
And give them another 40 years until when they're 55.
Yeah.
Like,
imagine the return on investment there, right?
Oh, that's a great way to put it.
If I'm 55 and I haven't learned this yet, and I say, hey, listen, I'm going to figure this out and I'm going to pass that knowledge on to my kids. When you're talking about generational wealth, we always think about stacks of assets or portfolio amounts or money that we can give them and bank accounts. The knowledge that you can pass down and help them to understand a different game that doesn't work. The traditional game flat out doesn't work, period. Right. You'll never convince me it does.
Right.
I haven't seen it work for anybody that I know.
Right.
And I know a lot of people who followed the rules and they're, you know, we're light years ahead of them from following a different path. And it's not, you know, it's just, it is a knock on the system. The system wants you to be a very obedient servant.
Right.
Right.
100%.
And so if I look at, excuse me, you're good. If I look at my return on investment as I'm in my 40s, 50s as a parent of being able to not only learn that for myself and start to live by example, but also be able to pass that knowledge down to my kids. And like you said, pass the baton, learn it together. And their starting point is, you know, in their teens or 20s or 30s, it doesn't matter. They're, you know, when they're 20 years behind, they are light years ahead of us.
That's 20 years
of compounding interest in a property and assets.
Yeah.
Buy one or two and let it sit there for 20 years. And they are going to be so far ahead of the game by just doing those simple little things. And it's, that's where you get, that's where that return on that investment, it's like, I don't know if I'm too late. You're not too late, first of all. We work with people that are retired and they're not too late. You know, you if you got a 3 to 5 year time horizon, you can make a lot of gains in that period of time. But, you know, if you think you're too late, you know, imagine being able to first start to right your ship, but also be able to get your kids in a position to be able to do this together with you, maybe invest together with them. And ultimately they're that much further ahead. Man, talk about a nice return on investment as a parent.
100%. And I would really, I'll die on this hill that especially with this, like my age group, I would say when I'm like on any of the social media, I feel like the vast majority of people are saying, man, I've applied to 100 jobs on ZipRecruiter and Indeed and nobody's hiring me. I have a 401k. The rent is too much. Everyone's complaining. Like we kind of got lied to. If you go to college and you get really good grades, then you'll get a good job and you'll work and then you'll have a 401k in retirement and then you'll die and it'll be great. Yeah. And it'll be the rat race. But I feel like a lot of people my age are going, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
I want to break free of this. So if you have the means to be able to like help your kids do that and you guys can learn together, I guarantee if you propose the question of, hey, would you want to start investing in real estate? And maybe, you know, we do it in 2 years so you can save up 10 grand and you can match my 10 grand or whatever it is, right. Or I'm not just going to hand it to you. You're going to work for it. You're going to come along with me. I guarantee you, your kids are going to be like, yes, I would much rather do that with my family, do a family business than go work for somebody else and just get a paycheck and, you know, whenever.
It is. So you're 100% correct. First of all, I think your age group is realizing sooner than my age group did that the traditional path doesn't work.
Right.
That it's like, gosh.
Get some of that whiskey, dude.
It's Whiskey Wednesday. I might as well just shoot that whiskey down instead of wait till the end of the show, right? But what you guys are realizing is this doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Now the challenge is quit bitching about it and do something about it, right?
Dude, so true.
Like, it's like, okay, you can say I've applied for jobs and I'm not getting them, and I'm do something different. Like figure out something different. And you will. Like I'm finding that. Like there was this gap between like my age group and your age group and that middle age group that we give a lot of shit to, which is the millennials.
And
we say, hey, listen, this age group kind of is, you know, they're kind of like lost a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like this group, they have they weren't like the Gen Xers, like, you know, my age group. And then they're not the whatever you guys are.
The Z's. Z's or whatever.
Z's or alphas or whatever's out there right now. Your guys' group is saying, hey, listen, we know that the traditional model doesn't work. We don't want to buy into the traditional model.
Right.
But what you're also sold, because it's an easy sell to your guys' group, is the easy button.
Yes.
Is, hey, listen, there's a way to get rich quicker because it's really hard in your 20s to buy into a 5-year plan or a 10-year plan because you're saying, I don't want to buy into that. Like, so why not say, hey, listen, I know this model doesn't work. I don't want to trade time for money forever, but I need to be able to have some sort of active income to put into something and invest into something for passive investments, right? And being able to bite off on that sales pitch is a difficult sell. Especially when you talk to somebody like me and I'm like, hey, are you willing to roll up your sleeves for the next 5 to 10 years? And are you willing to trade your time for money for 5 to 10 years? Let's try to maximize that out as much as possible.
Yeah.
But will you be disciplined enough for 5 to 10 years so that you don't have to be by the time you're 35? You know, if you're 25 and you can say, I'll do this for 10 years, you know how awesome it is if you could convince a 25-year-old to be super disciplined for 10 years. And by the time they're 35, their entire life and opportunities and choices are completely different. And so I think that the beautiful thing about the younger generation is, and that's not in my generation, is we're finding out about that it doesn't work because we can see the results aren't going to get us to where we want to do in retirement. Right. But the problem is we don't see it until we're 10 years from retirement.
Oh, and that's tough.
You guys are not buying into it early. You're just figuring out what path am I willing to bite off on? And unfortunately, the path that is most attractive is
easy.
Give me 10 grand in crypto because I'm in 100x my money or whatever else. And that's going to be my savior.
Oh yeah.
And you know, it's more the easy button instead of at least the button that I believe works, which is the path of real estate. For the majority of Americans, I feel like it's by far the biggest wealth building tool that's available to us. And so it'll be interesting, but I will also tell you, because you also mentioned you guys are like thirsting for the knowledge, the younger generation. My kids are only 14, so they're younger than you, obviously. My nieces and nephews, that are, you know, they come from families that they let them just go to bed with their iPads. They can use their phones at dinner, mm-hmm. all that stuff. We don't do that at my family. Mm-hmm. It, like we, you check your phone into a, we have a phone jar. It's a little bowl. Mm-hmm. The minute you walk into the house, you put your phone in there. Love right. It. And so mm-hmm. We don't allow that. If we have, mm-hmm. we've never allowed any sort of devices at dinner. Mm-hmm. We eat dinner every single day together. Mm-hmm. And so, it's interesting. And then we also, my kids, they work, at, you know, we've got a little, you know, we got a lot of animals and there's a lot of stuff to clean up and feed and everything else.
Yeah.
And so they do that, but they also work here at Bodicea at the office. They clean mm-hmm. the office. They do all those things on a weekly basis. My nieces and nephews mm-hmm. beg us to come stay with us and they want to come over and they want to do those things as well because they don't do them at their house and it's different. And mm-hmm. I always find it interesting because like we think that the kids aren't going to like that. They're not going to like mm-hmm. to put in the work and the effort and learn these different skill sets and try to figure all this stuff out. Mm-hmm. And I would argue with anybody out there, because I've seen it firsthand, that every single one of my nieces and nephews, they love it. And they love it. And they don't even have the opportunity to do it at their house. And they say they wish they would. They're like, I wish we had this stuff to do. I wish that we were like as strict as, like they think that I'm really strict, mm-hmm. But they like it. My point is they're willing and able and wanting to learn and mm-hmm. figure out a different way and do things mm-hmm. different, roll up their sleeves. Because I think that the younger generation gets a bad rap for being lazy, for being, you know, hey, listen, they're just going to be connected to their phones. They're mm-hmm. not present and everything else. What the hell do we expect? Right. We give it to them.
Yeah.
So, you know, these parents all bitch about it, but you're the ones creating the problem. These mm-hmm. kids, they are thirsting to be like, and they're so damn smart is the problem. Yeah. Like the amount of knowledge that you guys have, my kids have with technology, the filters that you guys understand what's fake and what's not fake, mm-hmm. Is very good. Like you guys are able to weed through scams. Like so crazy, fast. Right? Because you've seen it your whole life. Yeah. You've been exposed to it your whole life. Mm-hmm. You also are willing to, if somebody is willing to teach you and say, hey, listen, here's how we're going to do it. Here's the discipline it takes. There's mm-hmm. a lot of you that are saying, hey, I'm willing to do it.
Right? Man.
And I love that about the younger generation. And I do give them a lot of shit too myself. Mm-hmm. Like I do kind of, but you know, because they're sometimes an easy target.
Right.
But
fair.
But what do we expect of them? We're the ones that give it. We're the ones that, as parents, give them the devices at dinner, and we're the ones that hand them, an iPad when I want to talk to an adult instead of making them learn how to have a conversation and be good parts of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think this is a great way to lead by example. You know,
how do we get on that topic? I'm like giving parenting advice today, but
well, no, that's good. Is that good?
All right. I better say like, hey, listen, the jury's still out.
Yeah.
Whether my kids actually turn out well, I can't really claim to be an expert when I've got 14-year-olds. Right. And so I better give a disclaimer so that people don't think I'm getting on a high horse here. I understand the jury's out. This is my view of the world. Right.
Okay. That's fair.
All right.
I think, but you know, you can really lead by example. Like you said, man, I think, especially with this technology age, everyone wants to be successful. Everyone wants to be the best. You know, you got to put your best picture on Instagram or whatever it is. And so if you can lead by example and actually put your money where your mouth is and actually work hard for these things, I think it's great. But okay, let's hit some hot potato questions, okay?
Let's do it.
So I have seven here. These are just off the top. You ready? What is a good age to start?
As soon as you're interested.
Okay.
Right? Just as soon as you're like, hey, listen, I've got some interest here. You're never too old or too young to get started. Right. And so it has nothing to do with age. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, listen, I realize I want to run down a different road and I'm interested in that, like mm-hmm. start diving in.
Yeah. It all depends on want, not age. I love it. What is the first beginner job you give them?
Again, depends on their age.
Okay.
Right? Depending on when they're diving in. You're talking about kids, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. My kids, I started at the very beginning stages of it. Mm-hmm. Like I made them go through our masterclass and I started having them learn how to underwrite and select markets and learn how to, and they started doing this back when they were probably, I'd say 11 or 12.
Okay.
Cause it's not, you know, we're not like doing calculus or rocket science, right?
Okay, I mean, right.
It's like just following, it's like copy and pasting numbers and understanding what you're looking at, like understanding how to read the data.
Yeah.
And so, I always start at the very first part of the process, if that's what they're going to learn, like take them through the whole process.
Mm, okay. Maybe even like just let them read stuff to you. Yeah. Read the curriculum, read the master course, master mm-hmm. class out loud. Just something like that. So they're still absorbing and you can hear. Yeah. Okay, I love it. They're graduating college. You have an STR. Would you sell it, let them use it, give it to them, or make them go get their own?
Mm. You're saying sell it to them?
No, just sell it.
Just sell it?
And get a check.
No. Let me read. Where are they?
Graduating college. Would you sell them? Let them use it.
Maybe.
And give it to them?
Give it to them, no.
No.
Make them go get their own. Yes.
Make them go get their own.
And I would love to partner with them. Like I tell my kids, I'll partner with you on a property. Mm-hmm. We were doing it 3 years ago. And they lost the discipline of doing it because what happened is they were getting pretty close. We actually took a couple viewing trips. We met with realtors, looked at properties. They had their money saved up. I was partnering with them. They had to put half the down payment up. I was matching half of it. Uh-huh. And they were buying a $300,000 property. We were together. Right. And then we started making a couple offers. The first offer they were really excited about, it fell through. And we were actually under contract. Fell through, and then they just kind of stopped doing it. And then they came to me about 2 months later and said, "Have you found any other properties?" And I said, "No, that's not how this works."
Yeah, come on now.
Yeah, I found a lot of properties, but somebody else bought them in our Odyssey family. And so that was kind of a lesson of sticking with it, right? Understanding that, hey, listen, it's not always, you don't always find the, you look at five properties, you might find zero out of those five. Like you might have to say no to 90% of the properties we look at and underwrite and everything else, and understand deals fall out of place and you have to stay with the game and stay in the grind. And they fell out of that grind and tried to teach them that lesson. And then what happened is as well, then all of a sudden they had a shed that they wanted to put new floor in and they put, they bought couches for it and they made this little twin shed, they call it, in our backyard.
Yeah.
You've seen it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they spent a decent amount of their money doing that. And now they didn't have enough money to do it. So now they were saving back up. So my point of that is I would not sell my properties for them. If they want to use them with us, for sure, right? They're lifestyle assets, maybe. Right. We're not just going to say, hey, listen, you can go down any weekend you want. We don't do that with our properties.
Right.
I'm not going to give it to them.
Right.
But helping them and partnering with them to get their own and showing them the ropes, absolutely.
Love it. Okay, now here's another one that's kind of the flip side. Some parents don't have that mindset. They're just going to pass it on.
Yeah.
What's a mistake they do when they just want to pass on the asset? Is there certain, when I ask that, in my mind, I go, there's like certain paperwork or there's certain things that you could do to maybe not make it just so like, just give it away. But maybe, is there anything like that? Does that make sense or is there nothing really?
I think that there's one strategically on with taxes and everything else. I mean, and I don't, again, I don't, that's not my area of expertise by any stretch. So one, if you are going to pass it on, make sure it's set up in trusts and different things.
Right.
And
you talk to a tax advisor.
Exactly.
That's a huge mistake. Talk to a tax advisor.
Yes, that is a big mistake. Talk to a tax advisor for sure. That's what I would say. I guess the mistake of when you're just handed stuff, it's no different than when, somebody is handed a business or any sort of an asset is they didn't earn it, right? Mm-hmm. They didn't know the work and the effort and everything else it took to get it to where it's at. Mm-hmm. And many times it just gets sold anyway and they cash out and they take the money and do whatever they want with it. And if that's not what you want to happen, make sure that you have things in place that prevent that from happening, right?
Mm-hmm. I love it. Okay. If a parent is listening to this, but they don't own a short-term rental yet, what is one thing they could do right now to start laying this groundwork?
One, listen to us, right?
Dude. Hey. Visit Vodacy.com. That's where you can do it.
Go read the books. Like get on the podcast. Like read the books. Go take our courses. All that stuff. But seriously, just educate yourself on what this road looks like. If you're interested in running down this road, understand what you're getting into. Fair. Our
especially
goal,
you're going to bring your kids into this, man. Come on.
For sure. Right. And so you're trying to, with any new thing, you have to have time, money, knowledge. Right. Start with the knowledge piece and figure out if you have to gain all the knowledge. No, there's no reason to do that. Right. There's a lot of people that are there to pass that baton, leverage somebody else's knowledge and start laying that foundation of what those steps look like. And it's just following the steps. It's a paint by numbers process, really. Mm. It's not, you're not having to figure it all out at once. You're just trying to say, hey, listen, how can I leverage the information and the knowledge that's out there and start running down the road.
Fair. I love it. I had one more question, but it doesn't, I'm not even remembering what it says. It's, so we're going to skip it. Plus, we're at 38 minutes. So we did great.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
We're good.
Yeah. Good job, guys. Thank you. Way to stick with us. And, you know, we know your time is valuable. So we appreciate you letting me get on my parenting soapbox. This was kind of a parenting 101 course of, as far as Sean is concerned. Don't know.
Do you just talk to yourself in the third person right there?
I think I did. I think I referred to me as in the third person. Yeah, I did. Okay.
Well, that's all right, man. I think this is valuable, man. It kind of got me fired up, and I can't wait to have kids and be able to teach them this kind of stuff. I think it's
fun.
I just remember high school was like, I don't learn crap from that, man.
Right.
If we had this and I could learn literally like about loans, if I could learn about the housing market, if I could learn about numbers, or I could learn about real tangible things that everybody right now, they don't want to run the rat race. They don't want to do the normal 401k. So if someone could teach me that kind of stuff, that is like invaluable.
Right. And you're interested.
And I'm interested.
Exactly. And that's what that's the key. I think we assume that kids and the younger generation is not as interested as they actually are.
No.
You know, and they are interested and they are willing to learn and really bite off. It's a hard sales pitch because there's a lot of competing offers out there for their attention. Mm-hmm. And many of those other offers, especially online, you know, you're seeing guys driving around Lambos and cool chains and
I made thousands
renting
in no
their
time.
Private jets, you know, their private jet photo shoot. And so, but most of the time that's all it is. And it's usually not going to last.
Yeah.
And it, you know, if it is some of those games that are a little bit speculative, understand speculation is just gambling. And so I think when sometimes they understand that, they are willing to bite off on the longer term process, which real estate is, it really is. But these are pretty fun assets to own as well.
Yeah.
And they get very interested in it. So,
yeah.
Okay, we'll wrap it up. You guys, we appreciate you spending your time with us. We know it's valuable. If you got any value out of the show, we always try to help people walk into this game with their eyes wide open. We'd appreciate you sharing the show. If you have more than 30 seconds, like it or review it on whatever platform you're watching or listening on. And the final, most important thing I ask you at the end of every episode, pick that one thing you can do today, start building that life you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friends. Cheers, buddy.
Cheers.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. Share this with other people you think need to hear about it. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Hey Grace, is there a website? Yes! For more amazing content and expert advice, visit Vodacy.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.